have to read this the third time. Oh, God.
I think it's actually the fourth.
Oh, goody. All right. Hello, this is Liz Rocher from The Good Fight, and because Jeff Francoeur hasn't taken naked batting practice for the Phillies yet, I have to do this intro for the Amazing Avenue Audio, which is an awesome Mets podcast, and the Phillies are terrible, and Cole Hamels isn't even worth Henry Owens, and you are listening to Amazing Avenue Audio on Blog Talk Radio, and the Mets are good, and the Phillies are bad.
Podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week are Brian Renzi and Steve Sippa. Gentlemen, Dylan G making another rehab start this week in Binghamton, even after joining the team in Pittsburgh, which is probably unnecessary, but allows me to see Matt Harvey on Friday. That is more information than you actually need to answer this question, which I'm about to ask you, as we do at the beginning of the show, but Dylan G has some time to kill in Binghamton this week. What should he do?
Well, I'll take this one first, Steve, if that's cool. My advice would be to become a slumlord, actually, because real estate's pretty cheap up there, and there's
Hotel rooms are not, by the way.
Okay.
Well, this is an interesting thing to know. I go to a lot of Mets affiliates or cities where Mets affiliates play on the road, and Binghamton is one of the more expensive places to get a hotel room.
You should check out some Airbnb. That's the way to go.
Yeah, I always get a little dicey about the Airbnb thing, especially in Binghamton.
Yeah, you know, it's people are people, though.
You're like, advocating becoming a slumlord here, so how good can the Airbnb options be? But continue,
well,
Brian.
All right, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I've looked into it a little bit myself and feel like, you know, real estate's depressed. You got a constant stream of college students coming through there. Like, it's easy money, like, other than the fact that you might have to deal with, like, roof collapses due to too much snow and all that sort of stuff. But otherwise, like, I don't know. I'd look into it if I were him. It would pass the time.
I feel like flooding's a bigger issue there than roof collapses from snow. Steve, do you have a less capitalist suggestion here, hopefully?
Well, I went onto the Binghamton Department of Commerce website to see what kind of stuff there is.
Good fucking lord.
So he could either go visit the Binghamton Walk of Stars and see such famous people as Rod Serling, or he could just grab a keg and party with the college kids. I mean, I don't know about you, but one of those sounds interesting and the other does not. So
I have spent a fair amount of time at Binghamton in the last few years, more than I care to admit, maybe, or actually the exact amount I care to admit because I read about it, but. I'm going to say he should have all of his meals in the Lost Dog Cafe. I usually find one restaurant in every Eastern League city I can eat at, and the Binghamton one is the Lost Dog Cafe. You can walk around downtown, too. It's not bad. And there's a bar directly across the street from the stadium, from Nice Egg, that isn't awful. I've only ever had, like, espresso there, because they have a nice espresso machine, because I've usually been working, but... They do have a good beer selection. A lot of Omegang stuff. Some Sarnac, I think, too. Southern Tier on tap there. So whatever that bar is, you can go to that, too.
Now, in your trips to Binghamton, have you seen the Walk of Stars?
No! I go to a game, I watch Brad Holt pitch, and that's usually been my experience in Binghamton. This is episode 119 of Amazing Avenue Audio. It's the... David Wright has gone to live with a nice family at a farm upstate edition. That's where we're going. This one's going to be a little blue, guys. It's going to get a little dark. I am pouring as much iced coffee down my throat so I actually get through this podcast. As you may have gathered from the intro to this week's show, we had Liz Rocher over to watch the Mets-Phillies Memorial Day game, recording this on Monday night, and she lost our bet, so she had to read an intro to the podcast that you already listened to. But in the process of watching Bartolo Colon, Wilmer Flores, and Lucas Duda et al., we may have tied a few on. But there's a lot to cover. It's been a busy week in Metsland. Kind of a depressing week. Starting first and foremost with David Wright having the back condition generally associated with senior citizen males. Or females, I suppose. Old people. He has an old person's back. So we'll talk a little about that. We'll talk about the Mets offense, which is just swinging like they have old people's backs. Severino Gonzalez starts notwithstanding. And we'll answer your emails. This might be a long episode. It might be a short episode. I don't know and can't really hazard a guess at this point in time. So we'll see where we are at the end of the show. I'll also plug my Pitch Talks appearance coming up on this Thursday. And we'll do another triumphant IFK Gothenburg update. That's all things you have to look forward to. We start with the bad news, and David Wright's back doesn't work so well. So what happens now?
We're snake bit.
We're snake bit baby. I think it's the exact quote, yeah.
Yeah, we've been through this last week.
We are snake bit baby. I like that the Ruben Tejada is going to be get multiple looks at third base, lasted exactly one day, as Danny Muno started there today, which doesn't make much more sense than starting Ruben Tejada there. But I really can't get into sort of really getting angry about roster management at this point because everyone on the team is hurt, is what it comes down to. I mean, even the guys that are in the lineup, several of them today are hurt. They're injured. Lucas Duda has a bad hamstring. Juan Lagares has multiple things wrong with him. But only the things that affect his defense, so, you know, he can still swing a bat, so that's good. I'm in a good mood about that. But the Mets won. They're not, you know, they're not dead in the water, as Terry Collins says. But what should... Let's say we write... Let's be generous. We'll write off David Wright until the All-Star break. What should the Mets do in the medium term?
They've not shown the inclination to do so, but they should just move Flores over to third base and start Tejada at short. I mean, you're going to get
That's crazy better, talk, Steve. That's crazy talk.
You're going to get better defense from Flores at third, and you're going to get better defense from Tejada at short. And, you know, switching the two around in an experiment where, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to work out well, I just don't see the point to keep doing that at this point.
Are you suggesting this team should win pitching and defense? That sounds crazy.
Nah.
Brian, do you have any crazy ideas?
Well, I mean, that would be the first one that I had on the docket as well, but they seem pretty committed to having Flores be shortstop for at least this year. I've never really been sold that they really think he's going to be a long-term replacement or...
What makes you think that when they moved him off shortstop in St. Lucie?
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, I guess they're trying to get Flores some sort of continuity and some sense of we're behind you, buddy. But really, like the same thing could be served by getting him over to third, where he doesn't have to worry about footwork as much, and that should hopefully make his throws a little more straight and things like that. But then I guess the issue there is if you get Herrera back, you probably want Herrera in there at second, and then you still want Murphy's bat in the lineup. So unless you want to jerk him around as a super sub, which I'm fine with, but I don't manage the clubhouse. I guess I can see why they might keep Flores at shortstop for the time being. I don't mind Muno for the minute, see how that goes. I mean, he seemed like the most cromulent third base option out of what we've had.
I'm trying to remember where he actually played in college. I think he might have been a college third baseman, but I can never. I just assume they're all college shortstops. So I assume he was a shortstop at Louisville. Was he Louisville or Cal State Fullerton? I tend to confuse him. He was at Fresno. Cal State Fresno. Okay. I think he was a shortstop there, but that usually doesn't mean anything. But yeah, he can probably hack it at third.